Chapter 4, Increasing Satisfaction. How we are in life is how we are with food. When you're satisfied with food, you're satisfied with life, and vice versa. Making a change to feel more satisfied on either side will have a positive effect on the other. When your energy feels renewed from less focus on food, you suddenly want to launch the business you delayed, start taking time to have fun with your friends again, and the role of food becomes less important. When you take time to eat foods that satisfy your taste buds and make you feel good without guilt, then your thoughts are free from food. This new confidence to realize you aren't a food addict can empower you to start to remember goals you left behind or forgot about completely. Once you have established a mental framework and removed triggers from your environment, it's time to focus on developing a healthier relationship with food. You do this by focusing less on body image and weight as a result of every food choice. This will allow you to make the right choices in the present moment based on two questions. Will it taste good and will it make you feel good? Your answers help you live in the gray instead of the black and white. Want to feel more connected to the gray? Try this exercise. Go online and pull up a menu from your favorite restaurant or one you eat at frequently. Pick the diet option that you would eat when you are trying to be quote-unquote good. Now go pick the option you would eat if you just went off the diet and decided to splurge and be quote-unquote bad. Now that you have the black and white version, find the gray. What meal would taste good and make you feel good? What is this in-between meal? As you shift your focus away from attaining a certain shape or size, you will find it easier to make these choices daily. The inner peace you crave is going to come from building a foundation that supports a healthy relationship with food and body. From this place, you'll develop a plan that you can follow for the rest of your life. If you think of food only in terms of how it will change your body, for better or worse, any changes you make to your relationship with food will be temporary. As soon as you hit your goal, your focus will be gone. You'll return to old patterns and keep yourself in that never-ending loop. Yo-yo dieters have typically been on so many diets, each with a different set of rules, that the rules continue to build into a never-ending pile of contradictions. They get to a point of believing, don't eat past 7 p.m., carbs are bad, fats are bad, salt is bad, chemicals are bad. Even though they may follow just one system at any given time, they've accumulated so many rules that they can't let go of them. Following these becomes a confusing, jumbled mess. Right now, identify any rules that don't serve you and release them. It's exhausting to continue to carry them with you. I'll say it again. Your focus must be on what tastes good and what makes you feel good. People mistakenly believe that if they're allowed to have anything at all, they will always choose the cheeseburger or the dessert. Is that really true? Would you feel good if you ate pancakes for breakfast, a cheeseburger for lunch every day, and chicken parmesan with garlic bread for dinner? Would you choose never to have a single fruit or vegetable? Would you choose soda over water every time? Satisfaction is not always based on taste. That's why I pair the two together, taste good and feel good. The truth is, you can have anything. If you truly embrace this, you'll find that you naturally crave things in balance. You'll feel less deprived. Think about non-American cultures whose populations have normal relationships with food and generally aren't overweight. It is not the specific diets, eating at different times of day, or consuming food native to the culture that prevent these cultures from having an obesity epidemic. Rather, they view food as connection and restful so that they don't experience stress around eating meals. These are joyful moments for them. Americans, on the other hand, tend to be stressed at mealtime, whether it's because of a disorder with food, eating on the run, eating at their desk, or a general dissatisfaction with meal choices. Something needs to change to quiet the noise and allow us to reconnect. Replace old diet rules. Moving towards satisfaction means identifying and letting go of any old rules you may have developed so that you can replace them with new mantras. Assess your rules. Look at each rule individually and decide whether it makes sense and works for you. The goal is to make sure you're not following rules because someone told you to or because you think that's the right and a wrong way to live. It's always nice to have a set of rules that are important to you, that support your life and align with what you believe ethically and morally, and that make you happy. Let's say you choose not to eat after 7 p.m. For some, this may work fine. Others may not get home from work until then, or they're not able to share dinner with their family until 7:45 p.m. And if you have a vision of eating dinner as a family, not eating after 7 p.m. is a rule that obviously won't work for you. Holding on to it only causes unnecessary guilt and shame. If you punish yourself with negative talk for breaking a system you set up, this is my declaration for you. Step up and make new mantras that work for your life. Create new beliefs. Once you've identified your old rules, it's time to create new values that are not tied to diets. Examples include, I love the body I have. I love the body I was born to have. I choose to question what I hear in society that makes me lose trust in myself. Once you create these new beliefs, they will perpetuate. If you find yourself watching a news report or documentary or reading a blog post or a book that causes you to question your decisions or priorities, you can glance at your new mantras and remember your beliefs. Question the media you're encountering and get back on track. Focus on mindful eating. Mindful eating is being present with a meal, savoring all aspects of the food, and removing judgment to experience it while you stay in tune with your body. Mindful eating involves choosing not to multitask during meals. Enjoy the experience while leaving emotions from the day behind you. It will allow you to feel satisfied with the food you put on your plate. Mindful eating every day, every meal, can be challenging and is not realistic for many. I have found there are some simple ways to bring this into daily practice that don't take up extra time, yet still allow you to slow down. Start the meal by expressing gratitude or take 30 seconds of silence for prayer or meditation. Depending on which feels better to you, saying a prayer to give thanks and allow the meal to be a spiritual experience, or express gratitude for how the meal got on your plate. Think about all who contributed, from the farmers to the grocery store to those who cooked the meal. Ask your children to participate by sharing how they think the food got to their plate. This is a simple way to let go of any stress you are experiencing and become present and focused. Take the first minute of a meal and eat in silence. Look at the food on your plate and just acknowledge the facts of the meal. I have a turkey sandwich with lettuce and tomato and a side of coleslaw. For the first bite or two, chew slowly and enjoy the food. Describe how the food tastes to you and have your family describe it. Use descriptive words such as crunchy, salty, sweet, savory, and spicy. Leave a bite of food on your plate. This powerful act naturally compels you to be more mindful because it goes against the instinct to clean your plate. Leaving this bite may seem simple, but it is anything but. It may bring up emotions. This is normal. Just remember how powerful this one step can be. Leaving food on your plate not only allows you to be more present at the meal, but it also empowers you to choose when the meal ends. Diets encourage cleaning the plate to get in all your allotted calories for the meal. When you go off the diet, the only thing stopping you is your stomach hurting. This is a good reminder to be thankful that our bodies give us the gift of fullness. Throw that bite out with gusto and feel the power you just reclaimed. I choose when the meal ends. Add simple luxuries. Luxury doesn't have to mean fur coats and expensive cars. Simple luxuries can completely transform your experience of meals, and making use of them doesn't need to take a lot of extra time or cost a lot of money. Try drinking water from a crystal goblet or drinking coffee from a mug with an inspirational quote. Serve food on a beautiful dishware or fold cloth napkins on the table. These simple shifts can make a meal special. It's a way to interrupt your usual pattern and bring you back to the present to really enjoy your meal. Be creative with your luxuries, especially when it comes to food choices. For some people, it might mean garnishing a plate with fresh herbs, serving fancy mustard, or holding out for a special dessert. You know what your ultimate luxuries are. I especially love key lime pie, anything with caramel, and red velvet cake. So when chocolate, coffee-flavored tiramisu, or cheesecake are offered, I'm not tempted. I know it's worth having the dishes that taste the most amazing to me, so I wait until the next time they are available. Not only available, but perfect. I don't want a subpar key lime pie. I want it to have a nice, crisp graham cracker crust. I want it made with real key lime, so it's tart. A pie baked with bottled lime juice won't do. I can absolutely taste the difference. You should establish these luxuries for yourself. That way it's not, I can't have this red velvet cupcake because I need to lose weight. Instead, the dialogue shifts to, is it worthy of me? Is it worthy of satisfying me? Is it a luxury? The next time you look at store-bought birthday cake, you will pass because it's just not worthy of you. It's time to get started being a little pickier about the things you put in your mouth so you know what you are worthy of. This will make you feel more in control, satisfied, excited about food, and supported in life instead of your life being in a frenzy around food. I will never forget Carrie. She could not stop snacking at night. I snack, I eat the whole box, I can't stop. She was eating organic cinnamon graham crackers that she claimed she loved. By the time we were done working on her relationship with food and her body, she realized she never liked those crackers. She had cut out and denied herself so many things that she was confused about what she even liked anymore. Trying to follow the diet rules she accumulated over the years, she had convinced herself that she didn't feel guilty over these crackers. She thought they were a healthy pleasure. So she kept eating them, never acknowledging the confusion of why she never felt satisfied. Years of dieting can cause you to think something is enjoyable when it really isn't. I want you to avoid that trap. Now it's your turn to sort the rules. Diet beliefs to challenge. Carbohydrates make me fat. Anything with more than X grams of fat is bad. Don't eat past 7 p.m. I am a sugar addict. I must avoid it or I lose control. Dessert is only allowed after a healthy meal or eating your vegetables. Fasting will help me lose weight. I can never eat a white food. Skinny foods make you skinny. The answer to everything is more protein. I need to detox. I have to skip dessert. I have to weigh myself every day to stay on track. There is a right and wrong way to eat or exercise. New beliefs to consider. I eat foods that taste good and make me feel good. There is a right way to eat for my body, and it may change over time. Movement should bring joy and teach me about my body by allowing me to connect more. Managing my stress is equally as important as the food on my plate. No one meal determines my health destiny. I make choices to feel how I want to feel, not based on the number on the scale. Enough is enough. Feeling satisfied is also knowing when to stop eating. We're used to finishing everything on our plates. If we're on a diet, you finish everything because that's all you can have. When you get tired of following the meal plan, you stop paying attention. Suddenly, the food is gone and you feel completely bloated. Where is the perfect place to stop? There are three levels of fullness. Neutral fullness is when you could eat more, but intellectually you know that you have eaten enough. You'll feel full for another 2 to 3 hours and then need to eat again. Comfortable fullness is when you could eat more, you do feel full, and now you could go 4 or 5 hours without eating. Uncomfortably stuffed is when your stomach hurts and you have to stop. It doesn't matter how good the food is, physically it's painful. I like to call it Thanksgiving full. I suggest you aim to focus on neutral or comfortable. When you're first starting out, you may not be as present with your eating. You may find yourself eating fast or zoning out or getting too uncomfortably full before you realize it. Keep working on being more mindful and present, as it is a skill and it takes some time to develop. As you succeed, you'll have fewer and fewer meals where you'll end up feeling uncomfortably full. Neutral fullness can bring rise to feelings of worry that you won't get enough food. Remind your body and brain, there is always another meal. You can eat more when you feel hungry again. This is normal if you've gone through years of feeling deprived, especially if you were eating enough in terms of quantity, just not substance. Focus on your food. Eating is not a time to multitask. Katie always read while she ate because it's the only time she could get it in. Once she put the books away, she realized how emotionally attached she was to the experience of reading and eating. The food didn't even taste as good when she wasn't also reading. Reading was a form of self-care for her, but multitasking wasn't. She needed to give herself permission to carve out time elsewhere in her day to read. When you stop multitasking, you don't lose something. Focusing on a single task at a time is another form of self-care and a vital one. I'm not saying you can never watch TV or read again while you eat, but it's about identifying these emotional attachments you may have to eating. Discover the experience of simply eating and focus on that. Give yourself permission to get your needs met in other ways. It's also key to slow down while you eat. Eating your food in 2 minutes makes it difficult to determine whether you're full. You may not have 20 or 30 minutes to eat, but even 10 to 15 minutes is a great place to start. Eating quickly may be a sign to review types of hunger to make sure you are coming into a meal without feeling ravenous. Planned hunger. When you are headed into a 2 p.m. meeting and you eat a snack, you're not feeling hungry, but you don't want to feel ravenous during or after the meeting. Taste hunger. Eating just for pleasure and tasting to experience the food, not for fullness. Physical hunger. When your body is letting you know through your stomach, head, mood, or focus that it is time to eat a meal or snack. When your stomach feels empty, you could eat, but don't have to is generally a good time for a meal, as you will regulate the quantity you need the best. For a dieter, they like this time because they feel in control. Letting yourself get to a place of a growling stomach or feeling lightheaded makes control harder and sets you up to make choices you are trying to avoid. Emotional hunger. Healthy emotional hunger is having an experience with your family and/or a culture, or allowing yourself to have a food to soothe your soul. When it becomes perpetual, hard to control, and the only way you can cope with your emotions, then it's time to apply all the principles we've discussed in this book. Leave food on your plate. If sometimes you eat your entire meal, sometimes you leave food on your plate, and sometimes you go back for seconds, keep it up. This is all healthy. However, if your meal always ends when all the food is gone and your tummy hurts, then it's time to consider your eating habits. Remember the exercise from mindful eating and leave a bite of food on your plate. Symbolically throwing out one bite of food is one of the most powerful things you can do to be mindful and connect more with your body. Leaving one bite is something you must consciously do so it keeps you present during mealtime. Some people may argue that throwing out food is negative. We have homeless people who could use it. This is a common argument if you are raised to clean your plate because there are starving children in Africa. This is why I donate a certain amount of profit from my business to a charity called Blessing Bags that feeds local homeless people in my area. I tell people, I'll feed the homeless. You leave the food on your plate because that food that you're throwing away isn't going to feed a homeless person. You're eating more than you need and you're feeling sick won't help them. Throwing out food empowers you. You get more in touch with your body and are healthier. You're more motivated and will do more to better others' lives. Everyone wins. By choosing what you put on the plate and by eating less, you begin learning what your portion sizes are. In the future, you might take less of something and not waste it. You start realizing how much your body really needs. There's always more. There's no perfect place to end a meal because if you don't eat enough, there's always another meal or snack. Some people need to incorporate snacks into their day, some don't. Some work from home, some work outside the home. Your eating plan will be dependent on your life, but I promise you, there will always be more food. That being said, it can be key to plan ahead. Carry a snack with you or keep one in the car in case hunger sneaks up on you while you adjust to these new cues. Allow for flexibility in your life. As you begin to work on staying present and finding satisfaction, it can be an unpredictable journey some days. Many people avoid their present state because they are uncomfortable and they don't want to face any emotions that creep in. You may feel you are wasting time or don't deserve the time if you carve time out to eat. But being present with your food allows you to assess your needs, your tastes, and your level of fullness. And it allows you to assess your life rules and diet rules. And it's a skill that takes time to develop. Worksheet food routine. There are certain food patterns that support satisfaction and others that support feeling deprived, whether we realize it or not. Where do your patterns fall? Deprivation. Not pre-planning meals and deciding last minute when you are starving. Eating fast, sometimes wondering whether you even enjoyed the meal because it feels like autopilot. Multitasking and zoning out when you eat. Picking all day so you never feel full or know whether you're hungry and it feels automatic. Eating in the car. Eating out of containers. Eating in secret or hiding. Feeling upset or frazzled if someone comes in while you're eating. Taking a bite before you finish the first. Not putting your fork down the entire time you eat. Always finishing the meal or eating until it feels uncomfortable. Telling yourself you can't have something instead of asking if you want it. Satisfaction. Eating on a plate. Using a cloth napkin, fancy glass, or nice silverware. Simple luxuries. Saying a prayer or expressing gratitude before a meal. Thinking about the taste, smell, and texture of food. Not taking stress or emotions into a meal. Letting them go before you eat. Leaving food on your plate sometimes. Not eating something if it doesn't taste good. Asking yourself what will taste good and feel good. Pre-planning meals for days that are busy or overscheduled. Not judging feeling full, but feeling grateful our bodies tell us when to stop. Knowing all foods are allowed and you get to choose. Garnishing your plate or plating food to look appealing. Having meals with loved ones when possible. Not multitasking at a meal. putting your fork down and staying present at meals to check in with your body. Now identify, what food routines do you want to change? What food routines do you want to embrace?